tonight into Psalm chapter number 1, Psalm chapter 1. We won't be longer than what the Lord would have us tonight. Very familiar psalm to Bible scholars that read through the Bible, but a very familiar psalm just because it's one that is used so many times to illustrate the blessed estate of the child of God. And I tell you what, as a child of God, we are blessed. Amen. Amen. As a child of God, we have something that we can go to and we can look back to, and we can balance our life on. We can build our foundation on something that's worth shouting about, something that's worth praising about, something that's worth getting excited about. It's no wonder people shout sometimes when they think about how good God is. In Psalm number 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, thank you for your word tonight. As we look to your word here for just these next few minutes, Lord, help us, Father, to focus on what you'd have us to see and what you'd have us to grasp from what you're showing us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies and your goodness and your grace, and we just ask you, Lord, to help us, God, tonight just to realize how blessed we truly are to be called your children. And Father, we thank you for what you've done and what you're doing, because we ask it in Jesus' name tonight. We say amen. First word is what? Blessed. Why is it blessed and not blessed? Huh? We're blessed. We always say blessed. I always wondered that. Why do we say blessed when it's the same way you spell blessed? But I'm thankful that we are. Amen. I'm thankful that I am. The word that is translated here comes from a Hebrew word that is esher, and it's a plural expression of that word blessing. It's more than just being blessed. It means we have manifold and multitude of blessings that come into our life. Amen. Aren't you glad that a child of God don't just get to say, "Well, I'm blessed because of this." I'm blessed because of everything. Amen. I can look around me and I can see everything that God has done and everything that he has poured upon me and given to me and supplied for my needs to bless me like I could never find a blessing in this world. Amen. The child of God tonight needs to realize that he's not just blessed. He's blessed beyond measure. He's not just blessed, but he's blessed beyond anything that his imagination could even conceive, because he receives blessings in his life that he's not even aware of. You say, "We're talking about, preacher?" Well, you know, there's times when God has kept things from happening to you that you wasn't even aware of. Amen. There is times that God has spared you and protected you that you wasn't even thinking about when it happened, and you was just oblivious to it happening, but God's hand, that's a blessing that you don't even know about. Amen. That's a blessing that you aren't even aware of, let alone the shedding of his blood, let alone the redemption that we have through the shedding of the blood of his son and salvation in Christ Jesus. Praise God, we're blessed just because God looks upon us and realizes that we are his creation, and he wants to bless us, and he does bless us exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amen. Blessed or blessed, whichever you prefer. Amen. But it's overwhelming. Amen. It's on every hand. Is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What's blessed about this man? He's separated. Amen? He's separated. I tell you, that's what we're missing in our churches today. That's what we're missing in our Christian lives today, is a separated life. Amen? Amen? We want so many Christians, they want to dabble in the world, and they want to hold on to the world with this hand and hold on to the world with this hand, and whichever hold on to God with this hand, and whichever one they feel the greatest tug from is where they want to go. You know, God only tugs when we surrender. Amen. Amen? When we feel the tug, we feel the pull of God, we feel the blessings of God when we surrender ourselves to Him. He will not force Himself upon you. Amen. You want to get blessed, surrender your life to Him. Amen. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Amen. Why is this man blessed? Because he's separated. He doesn't walk, he doesn't stand, and he doesn't sit in the places where the ungodly are. And look at that progression. Amen. Look, first he says he doesn't walk. He don't even go by that way. Amen. And then, secondly, he said he don't even stand there. You know, it's one thing when you walk by, and that's how sin gets you. Amen? That's how sin grasps you. You know, you're walking by, and you're looking, and it's kind of a casual thing, and you just keep on passing by, and it seems so innocent. It seems so, well, hey, man, I'm checking this out, you know. Yeah, I'm checking this out, man. Hey, I'm still checking this out. Hey, man, I'm still checking this out. And we're walking, and we're walking in places where we shouldn't be. Amen. We're looking at things we shouldn't be looking at things. We're listening to stuff we shouldn't be listening to. We're doing things we shouldn't be doing. And we just keep on casually letting it happen, casually going on by it like it's not no big deal at all, and it's not going to affect us whatsoever. And pretty soon we've stopped walking and we're standing there. Amen. Pretty soon we're standing right smack dab in the middle of it. Amen. We've quit walking, and now we're satisfied. We'll stand still and look at it here for a while. Amen. And then what's the next step? You're sitting right smack dab in the middle of it. Amen. You know, the devil, he knows how to get you. He knows how to snag you. He knows how to bait you in. If he can get you to walk by that way, amen. If he can get your attention, he's got a chance of hooking you up. That's just like fishing. You know, you got the bait on the hook. Amen. And you try to get it to pass by where a fish is going to be, and you hope that you can get that fish's attention. And when you got that fish's attention, and that fish sees that bait, and that fish decides not to just to swim on by, and it heads to that bait, and pretty soon it's focused on that bait, and its mind is settled on that bait, and after a bit, if things go right, he just goes up and swallows it, hook, line, and sinker. And the devil's got you. Amen? And that's just what he does, progressively, gradually. But the man that's blessed of God, the man that feels and knows the blessing of God, the man that God can bless because everything's right in his life, he doesn't fall for the traps and the tricks that the devil puts out there. He doesn't walk there, doesn't stand there, doesn't sit there. Amen? He don't even let his mind and his thoughts go there. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. His delight, you know, our relationship with God, our relationship to coming to church, our relationship to reading the Word of God has a lot to do with our perspective, the way we want to see it, the way we want to perceive it. Amen. Look at what he said. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen? Not under the law. Praise God. Not under the law, but in the law. Amen? Under the law, the only thing you'll find is condemnation. Amen? Under the law, the only thing you'll realize is that you're not worthy, you're unable, you're incapable of living a life that is acceptable unto God. Under the law, you fall under condemnation of sin, but praise God, in the law, you find out how to please Him. There's a big difference between being under the law and in the law. Amen. There's a big difference between letting God have his way. Letting God have, I'm going to put it the right way. Letting God have his way forcefully, judgmentally. One day we're going to be judged.
Right, right.
Amen. We'll be judged by the law one way or the other.
Amen.
Whether in the law or under the law, we'll be judged.
Amen.
Amen. What did the Apostle Paul say? I didn't know I was a sinner unless it had been under the law. Until I realized the law. The law taught me that I was a sinner. The law showed me who I was. But praise God, when he got in the law, amen, and he started living what God wanted him to live, he started seeking God's face and doing what God wanted him to do, he found out how blessed it was to live separated, amen, and to delight yourself in the things of the Lord, amen. His delight is in the law. I'm thankful tonight that we have a word of truth. We have a word of hope. We have a word of grace. We have a word of strength. We have a word of courage. We have a word that will satisfy anything that we need. Just like Sister Sherry said, it's in there. Amen. It's in there. You just need to look for it. Amen. His delight is in the law, and it's to be desired. Look at what he says. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He delights in it. He not only delights in it, he desires it. Amen? He desires it. He meditates in it day and night. You know, you want to find blessings that you never realized that were yours, blessings that you never knew had come your way. Get in the Word. Amen? You don't realize just how blessed you are until you get in the Word and you see how God has delivered time and time again, how God has forgiven sin time and time again, how God is so merciful, how God is so gracious, how God is so loving, how God is so kind, but how God is a God of judgment and wrath. And praise God, according to His mercy and His grace, He saved us and He delivers us and He keeps us from the wrath that will be poured out upon the ungodly. Amen. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. His desire is in the law of the Lord. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. His prosperity is in doing the will of God. His prosperity is paramount in God's hand upon him. Look, and he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Amen. He didn't get there by accident. Amen. He was there by purpose. We don't go to heaven by accident. We don't go to heaven by chance. We're not saved by chance. We're not saved by just a circumstance that happens, but we're saved purposely. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, God saw the need, and he met the need in his son Jesus. And we can be born again and birthed into the family of God if we'll trust Jesus as our Savior.
Amen.
Amen. He wasn't just arbitrarily brought up there. The Bible says he's like a tree that's planted by the way he was placed there. He was purposefully put there. I thank God for the day that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I was purposely planted. I was purposely rooted. I was purposely grounded. His purpose in my life is to put me in his family, is to put me back in fellowship, to put me back in a right relationship. You know, sin destroyed man's fellowship with God. Sin separated man from God. And ever since the Garden of Eden, God has made provision for restoration. You see what this book is? It's a book of restoration. Amen. I preach that all the time. It's God restoring what has been broken by sin. Amen. That's why God commands us when there's a problem, there's a rift in our relationships, to restore it. He's a God of restoration. Amen. He wants to restore relationships. He wants to bring them back right. That's why God tells us go out into the world and to minister to the lost and the dying people. He don't want any to perish. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. He's a God of restoration, and he wants us to be a tool, a minister, an arm of that restoration. Amen. He wants us to purpose to do what needs to be done. He shall be like a tree planted purposely placed there by the rivers of water. Amen. Placed, purposed, and pondered. Amen. And provided for. Look at what he said. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Again, a plural term. I had always read this, and I always thought about it as a tree planted by the river. You know, we read it that way, and we think of it that way so many times. He said, but he's like a tree planted by the rivers. You know what that tells us? You know what that shows you? Hey, man, there's an abundant. There's an abundant provision for your need. Hey, man, we live here in Cecil County. There's five rivers that are directly affected, Cecil County. You got Susquehanna River, Northeast River, Elk River, Bohemia River, Sassafras River. That's all five of them, isn't it? Amen. That's all five of them. Five rivers that feed the bay from Cecil County. We got rivers that feed us. So we got rivers of mercy. Amen. That touch our lives when we need mercy. We have rivers of compassion, the God of all mercies and the God of compassion. Amen. He feeds our souls, and he covers us when we need to be comforted. We have the God of long suffering. I tell you what, sometimes even as Christians, amen, we need to be thankful that we serve a long suffering God. Amen. Because we fail him so many times. We thank God tonight that he sustains us and he supplies us with grace. I like the scripture that not only says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when God's talking to Paul, I not only like that scripture where he says, my grace is sufficient, but I like that scripture over there in Peter, I believe it is, that where it says, he said that he gives more grace. Amen. You know what? I get excited when I think about that. He gives me all that I need when I need it.
Amen.
Amen. I'll never be lacking in what I need. He's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. Amen. I'm glad that the man that is blessed of God is a fruitful individual. Amen. I'm glad that the man that's blessed by God can look in his life and see people that he's witnessed to and see people that he's told about Jesus. You know, I don't always get results when I witness. I don't always get results when I preach. I don't always get immediate results when I hand out a tract, but I've done my part to be fruitful. Amen. If I do my part, God does his part. Amen. And somewhere in the glory world, there's going to be someone that says, because Brother Dennis Gilbert preached the word of God, because Brother Dennis Gilbert give me a tract, because Brother Dennis Gilbert told me about Jesus, I don't have to go to a place called hell. Amen. Fruitful. We abound with what is needed. But look at what he says. He brings forth his fruit in a season. You know, there's time when it's time for us to testify. There was a time when Bob and Coralina needed to go see Sister Sherry today. Yeah, there was a time for them to be there in their season, amen, to look at her husband in the eyes and tell him what he needed. Amen. There was a time when it was my responsibility, and it was the season for me to do it. It's the season for Brother Ron and his family to hand out tracts as they dress up as the Star Wars characters and use it as a means to draw people unto them. There's a season and a time and a place for each of us. Amen. We not only are going to be fruitful, but we're going to do it in God's time. We're going to do it God's way. Amen. You know, an apple tree don't bloom and blossom and bring forth apples until it's its time to do so. Amen. It blooms in God's time. Amen. It buds in God's time. It produces fruit in God's time. Amen. And that's the way God's people will be. Amen. If we do things in God's time. When we have the opportunity and we have the time, we need to strive to do what we do when God has it for you to do. Amen? We put things off sometimes, but God's blessings come with a responsibility. Amen? God's blessed is the man, and he's like a tree that's been placed there, planted by the river, and he brings forth his fruit in his season. Amen. When God gives you a job to do, that's the time to do it. Amen. And that's when we need to do it. But listen, his leaf also shall not wither. Amen. The Bible says to be not weary in well doing. Amen. And it's easy to wither under the weight of a ministry, to wither under the weight of a burden for someone or some group or some ministry that you're involved in. But praise God, if you try to do it in your own strength and if you try to do it in your own ability, you're going to wither and you're going to fail.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Joanne and the folks over at Tabitha's Pantry try to do the pantry in their own ability, their own strength, their own frame of mind, they're going to fail.
Amen.
You know why? Because it gets wearisome looking at people coming in taking advantage. Some folks you know are taking advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And it gets wearisome. It gets troublesome. It gets bothersome. But if you try to do it in self, you're going to want to shut the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Say, it just isn't worth it. But when you do it in what the Lord gives you, he supplies the need. He satisfies those rivers that are around you. Those rivers that surround you, make sure that they sustain you so that you don't wither away. Amen. It's easy to wither in trying to live in a house and in a home where you're the only Christian. I know some folks are in that situation. It's wearisome to try to go to school or try to go to work and try to be in a place where you're the only Christian there and everybody wants to mock you and everybody wants to ridicule you and everybody wants to make fun of you. Amen. It's wearisome, but praise God, when God sustains you and God strengthens you, it doesn't matter what anybody says or what anybody does. Amen. You're going to prosper anyway because you're not going to wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I told Mary a song for these kids. It says just what it means. Remember that one about the Bible? People, whosoever still means whosoever. Amen. Sometimes we question the simplest things. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You say, well, preacher, I tried to do this and it just didn't work out and it failed. Did it? Did it? It might have failed in your eyes, but it might have accomplished what God intended for it to do. Amen. Pastor, we started this and we did this and nobody wanted to come out. Nobody was affected by it. Nobody wanted to do anything about it. It just didn't work. It failed. Did it? Amen. Did it really? God said, whatsoever the child of God does, the man that desires him, the man that separates himself from the world, and the man that seeks to do what's pleasing unto him, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You speak a word to somebody, you testify to somebody, and they get mad at you. Don't want to talk to you. They want to fight with you, want to argue with you. They get ill towards you. You think, well, blew that. Did you? Amen. If God sent you to do it and God put you to it, did it fail? It didn't fail. He said, my word will not return void unto me. Amen. He said, what you do and what he sends you to do, he's going to sustain you in and he will make it prosper. Amen. You know what? There was a young man that went to church here. I think Sister Nancy brought him. He went to church here and I preached to him. And then he started going to State Line. And I remember Sister Nancy giving the testimony that he said up in State Line that because of what I preached here, he'd got saved. Amen. Amen. You know, I would never have known that had I not heard that testimony. You know what I mean? I would have thought maybe, well, that just blew that message. That was just a waste of air. That just didn't accomplish anything. But God said, whatsoever you do, whatsoever he does shall prosper. Amen. God is going to use it. God does things in his way. He doesn't do things in my way. I might not see it. I might not understand it. I might not get to realize it. But praise God, it's prospered if God was in it. Amen. And if God was accomplishing what was needing to be done. But he said, the ungodly are not so. There's no hope for the ungodly. There's no hope for the unsaved. There's no hope for the person that has no time for the Lord and don't want to live according to godliness, don't want to live according to righteousness, don't want to live according to God's will and God's plan. You know, we've been studying that in Sunday school class, and so many people have been teaching and producing and giving us easy believism. Well, if you just say this prayer, nothing you can ever do is going to change that, and you're going to go to heaven. They walk out of a church, sit 50 years on a bar stool, die, and everybody says, well, he got saved in Bible school. The Bible says he that doeth unrighteousness is unrighteous. Amen. The Bible says that if you're a child of God, you're going to obey the word of God. You're going to listen and you're going to heed. Amen. Now, don't take my word for this, and don't argue with it. I'm not even going to argue with you about it if you don't agree with it. Go to 1 John, begin reading at chapter number 1, and just go ahead and read the whole little book, the whole little epistle of 1 John. He makes it perfectly clear, unabashedly clear, plainly clear, that you can't say you're one thing and be something else. Right. Amen. You can't say one thing and live another way. The ungodly have no hope. They have no hope, irregardless of what the world wants to tell them. The ungodly are not so. Look at what he says. They're like a chaff which the wind driveth away. They have no root. They have no permanence. They have nothing that's going to last. Amen. The child of God has those roots that are grounded, that are seeking the water. Amen. They're by the river and they're seeking water, that they will go to water and that they will desire water, that the tree wants to be fed with the water. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff. It has no root. And when the wind blows, it just blows it here and it blows it there and it blows and it blows and it blows and it has no permanence, and one day the ungodly will find themselves in a place called hell. Amen. Because they had no life. Amen. And they were just blown asunder. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They have nothing to plead, they have nothing to claim. I have nothing whatsoever in and of myself to claim, but praise God, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful that when I stand in judgment, amen, the only thing that God can see and will see according to His Word is the blood that's been applied. Amen. And next to my name, I don't know how it is, but it's going to be written, saved by the blood. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I have something to face judgment with. But the ungodly are not so. The Bible says they can't stand in judgment. They have nothing to plead. They have nothing to offer. Amen? Well, God, I did this, and God, I did that, and God, you know, I was a good person. And as one fellow told me, he says, well, I'm not a thief, and I'm not a murderer, and I'm not a rapist, so I don't need that salvation. I don't need that religion. Praise God, I want you to know something. It don't matter how good you are. It don't matter what you've done. Without the blood of Jesus, there is no hope. Right, amen. Amen. The ungodly cannot stand and shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I'm glad there's a place where we'll be separated from sin forever. Amen. I'm glad there's a place where we won't have to deal with the effects of sin. We won't have to deal with the malignancy of what sin has done in the lives of mankind. There'll be no more molesters. There'll be no more murderers. There'll be no more rapists. There'll be no more thieves. There'll be no more lying and cheating and dishonest. There'll be no more masochists and all these people who do all these things just because of the effects of what sin has done. The Bible says no sin is going to enter into heaven. Amen. Amen. There'll be no sin there. We'll be separated from sin. Sin will be in utter destruction. It will be in eternal destruction. It will be forever removed from the face of God and from His people. See, the man that trusts God has blessings pronounced upon him. The man that trusts God has blessings poured out upon him. Amen. But the ungodly has no hope. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. You can fool people, but you don't fool God.
Amen.
Amen. You can fool the preacher. You can fool your parents, you can fool your kids, you can fool your relatives, you can fool your friends and your co-workers, you can fool everybody. But you never will fool God.
Amen.
For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but there's no hope whatsoever for the ungodly. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm thankful tonight for the blessings that we have. I'm thankful for the blessing in knowing that I have a permanence, so that I'm not blown away as the chaff is. I'm thankful tonight for knowing that I have a hope that extends beyond the grave, because I've placed my faith and trust in Jesus, and I will be able to stand in judgment and give God's Son, His Son, the glory and honor and praise that's due His name. I'm glad that I have a God that knows me. He knows my life, and He knows how unworthy I am, but praise God, He knows that the blood has been applied and my name is written down. And praise God, I'm glad tonight that I can trust Him, because He supplies all that I need. Tonight, as we stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed,